Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources, available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for mature who practice, having their senses trained to discern good and evil. So key there is practicing, and hopefully that's what we're going to be doing tonight and what we've been doing, practicing. And again, desire, discipline, delight. You can't practice something without discipline, because it takes discipline to keep doing it over and over until you get better. So encourage you to do that. Questions? Have you spent more time or better time, quality time with God since the last time we met? Have you meditated on the Word since the last time we met? What have you done to build up your spirit? Have you done the homework? Which I can't even remember what it was, so. Have you recorded your experiences journaling? Everyone journaled things they've heard? Okay. Questions. Any questions?
Mike, I've got another question.
Yeah, go on then.
Well, I mean, is there a place where, I don't know, you know, it's not even water or anything, you know, but is there a place where you feel that there's no need to be entering in on a, you know, an hourly or some whatever time basis? Because I did today, and I felt like, after I had it, I felt like I shouldn't have done it.
No, I mean you can't enter into the presence of God too much, because in the presence of God, it's a great place to be. I mean, if you were to do that instead of doing your work, which you're paid to do or something, that wouldn't be a good thing, because you know, I mean, you know what I mean. So, you know, from God's perspective, of course, He loves to see us all the time, but. Actually, you know, if you've got things you have to do, then what you want to do is from being in that presence and bring what you get into that presence into everyday life. Because essentially Jesus did what He saw the Father doing all the time, and therefore our goal in having encounters with God is not that the encounters are an end in themselves. The encounters are to enable us to have a relationship with God, which enables us to do all the things that He wants us to do, but to be in conscious, continual relationship that then enables the His presence to come through us and flow. So essentially we should eventually just be like Him and joined to Him. He is joined to the Lord, becomes one spirit with Him. The more time we spend with Him, the more we'll get to be like Him, you know. But I don't think there's any sense where, you know, He's not pleased to see us. Yeah, go on.
On that subject, if you say you had a day free,
yeah,
and you wanted to stay in that all day,
yeah,
you can just cut that prayer in half, can't you, and do half of it and stay there and do whatever you've got to do at home and chill, and then say the rest stepping out later on.
I mean, at the end of the day, stepping in, stepping out is just practice.
Yeah.
It's not like, yes, that's what you do, but at fence, you don't have to step back out. If all you're doing is staying in the presence of God, just stay there.
Yeah.
You know, eventually you obviously come back into that when you have to cook your tea or do whatever else. But even in that,
you can still be in
the sense of the presence of God. Because ultimately, these are just practices to develop a lifestyle that we're conscious of God's presence all the time and flowing in it, so that we aren't really, well, ultimately when you train yourself to be able to see in the realm of the spirit, we should be able to see through spiritual eyes, even doing natural things. So seeing the realm of the spirit around people and situations and circumstances, so you detect atmospheres, you walk into a room and you see what's going on in the room, and when you walk into the room you become the head and not the tail. So you change the environment and the atmosphere because you see what in this realm of the spirit, what's going on. You know? So ultimately, it's about developing a lifestyle that is just about the presence of God. But these are exercises that help us, because we've not learned how to do that. You know, we've never been taught how to actually live like that. You know, what we've been taught is how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, which is great. But actually operating in the gifts of the Spirit is really baby stuff when it comes to bringing the kingdom, because those are just the things that everyone should do anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I think just go for it. You know, the more time you spend there, the better it will be. Yeah. So, any other questions?
Yes, I can't get anywhere.
You can't get anywhere?
No, no, I've had one or two pictures, but it doesn't make sense.
Well, making sense of pictures takes practice. And, it, you know, in terms of, if you can't make sense of them, write them down and ask me or ask someone else to interpret them. Because you have to get into a flow of understanding the symbolic nature of things. Some things are real places, and some things God shows you in ways to speak to you about things. So you get something from the picture that he's trying to show you. Because, in a sense, the heavenly realms, you know, are the realm of God's presence, and all the different things that go on there in the different places, they go on like that. But actually, when we go there, God knows how to engage with us so that we get a great grasp of things. And in a sense, you know, everything can start by faith. If you can't see anything, that doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It just means that we've got to continue practicing until we do see some stuff.
You said, I think last time that I came, I couldn't make it last week because of my leg. You said you've got to get into the right channel, something like that. Is that correct?
Well, what you need to do is you start by, in faith, stepping in. And when you step in, you then engage with the presence of God, and you receive his righteousness and his peace. Some people, it's just like they feel like in a warm, cuddly cocoon. That's great. If you feel loved and accepted and feel nice, that's a nice thing to do.
That's right.
That's okay, because it's just, well, everyone's different and we're all at different stages. The main thing is just keep practicing, and don't be too concerned that some people seem 100 miles away and you seem 100 miles behind. It's not about where you are in relation to anyone else. It's just where you are with your own relationship with God, and that relationship is to be growing. So it's like, don't compare with anybody, you know. And in a sense, you know, some of the things that I've done and some of the places that I've been are because of who I am and what God's called me to. And so you may never see some of the things I've seen, but actually you may see things that I never see. And there are lots of people who've seen things that I haven't got a clue about yet. And so that's okay.
Well, I just had a thought about a picture that I've had two or three times. And it's, well, there's two actually. It's a playing field. Yeah. And it's men in black and white team things playing football. Well, I used to watch football when my children were younger. But it just suddenly struck me that I could be looking at that as teamwork.
Yeah, I mean, and what I'd encourage you to do, if you're unsure about things that you see, just write them down and then share them with someone, or come and share them with me, so that you can get some insight into it, you know.
Okay.
That's the best thing to do on that. Okay. Yeah.
Golden chariots.
You can.
I know in Song of Solomon, that's, I've got a bit of insight into the golden chariots as far as Song of Solomon is concerned. But is there anything from your own experience?
I've never been in a golden chariot. Where's that? Yes, I am. Yeah, I have been in a golden chariot, pulled by a fiery horse once. And I've been in another golden chariot with Jesus. So, yeah, I have been there. Deb's got a golden chariot, and her golden chariot is symbolic of her throne. So it's a symbolic of the authority that she carries in particular areas. So when she goes into that, you know, I might go and sit on a throne, hers is mobile, which is symbolic of something in terms of the different areas of gift that she's got. So, you know, it depends where it is. Is it in the heavens that you can encounter it, or is it just here, or are you seeing pictures of it? But to me, it's a symbol of authority. Obviously, golden, the whole thing of gold talks of purity, but also about kingship. But often it's if you can see it and you can get in it, then go somewhere in it, because obviously it moves.
Because I have a bit of a question. A chariot turned up and a herald came out.
Yeah.
This was a few months ago, and now I'm at the funeral, I'm able to get from the
chariot. Well, that chariot can take you all over the place. Well, I don't think anyone can tell you really what to expect, because it's your encounters. And I know in talking to Ian Clayton, in his chariot thing, he goes all over the place, out into the stars, into the galaxy. It's something that moves. Now, you can, in the heavenly encounters, you can have something that appears like it operates in time, so it can appear like there's a journey. Or actually, you can be there in an instant with a thought. So if there's somewhere you feel, oh, I'd like to go and see this, then try getting in there and going somewhere. But if God takes you somewhere, then just go with it. But I would say generally, it is to do with authority. So wherever you're going to go, you know, it's going to be about bringing something of that authority. But just see what happens. The next episode of the exciting adventures. First of all, they're light, you know, because they are growing and they do develop. You know, they develop into different things. Things I saw and didn't really understand the first time I saw them, when I went back, you know, I took a bit more notice to what was going on around me. And that helped me put into perspective, because a lot of the times I was just like, you know, my jaw dropped when I was looking at stuff. So I was not really paying that much attention, because I was just like gobsmacked. But when I've been back to places, I've paid more attention and I've looked around and seen the context and see where I am and different things. But just keep pressing in. So, yeah, good. Any others? Nope. Okie dokie. In terms of encounters, it's been good. Some of the encounters have been put on the website, on the forum. I'd encourage you to put some encounters there if you have some of them, so people can read them and be encouraged by it. Have you any other particular encounters that people have had that they're not sure of or anything?
What do you mean by encounter?
Well, just actually seeing things in the realm of heaven, or having an encounter with Jesus.
I
or
haven't got there.
That's okay. Alright, let's do some more practicing. Most of what I want to do tonight is just practicing different things and encouraging you in different areas. Just the whole thing of praying in tongues is one of those things that you can't do enough of, because it just continually to build your spirit. So just practice. We'll pray in tongues out loud, then pray in tongues inside for a couple of minutes, and just to get used to. And while you're doing that, you can look at Jesus, or if you want to close your eyes, you can picture whatever you like to picture. So let's just pray in tongues out loud for a little bit. And as we're doing that, just surrender ourselves to God for tonight. Hand over the day. If you've had a difficult day, now's the time just to hand it over to God. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus and let him lift all the burdens off you, and just receive his peace and his love and his presence. And as you just look into his eyes, just receive everything he has for you. Just looking into the eyes of Jesus can be an awesome thing. So let's just pray out loud in tongues for a little while. Yeah, bless you, Lord God. Shia randari ando rosho kutarandari mamama. Ariandar india roshundoru mama katiar india randoru mama. Aya roshundoru kuti katar india randori ando rosho mama. Aiti katar india randoru rosho mama. Kieranda rianda randa rianda rushukuti kata. Ia kato roshondoro mama. Yarin diarandaranda riandoro shomavana. Kia rakato. Yarin di shiandor deriendi a rosho makata. Yarin di shiandoro mamakati. Ui katariando rosho makata. Yarin di shiandoro mamama. Karindi aranda rosho mamama. Kati aranda riandoro mama. Yarin di shiama arrokuta. Yarando romama. Bless you, oh God. Okay, let's just now pray in tongues on the inside. See if you can practice getting that to come up from your belly, from your innermost being, while you just meditate, look into the eyes of Jesus, just receive from him while you're praying in tongues on the inside. How many of you are getting to grips with that in your own personal time? I think it's a, you know, it's one of those things that it's really, really important, because what it does, A, yes, it builds up your spirit, but B, it gets you able to do more than one thing at the same time, so that you're learning to try and listen to God while you're doing something else, and so that you can pick up the things that God is saying while you're engaged in something else, whether you're at work or talking to somebody. It's actually looking to get wisdom, insight, revelation from God about every situation, because effectively God wants us to excel at the highest level, to prosper, to be blessed, which means he wants us to do the best job we can do, the best thing at college, the best thing at school, the best thing in our workplace, at home, family, everywhere. He wants it to flow out of his best. So engaging with him and being conscious of his presence will enable that flow to just keep coming, so that you suddenly say something and you're saying it when you didn't think it. So it's coming from the Spirit of God that's flowing through you. You know, quite often I'm sitting talking to people and I say things and inside I'm thinking, oh, that was good. Where did that come from? Because I've not heard it before. You know, quite often, you know, I must remember to write that one down, because that's what creativity happens when you're together and the Spirit of God starts moving. Because where two are gathered, obviously there's two people coming together, which is an exponential sense of God's presence. But actually what we've got to learn to is, when we're on our own, to develop that flow. So I encourage you to practice praying in tongues as much as you possibly can. You know, if you're not doing anything else, pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues watching the TV, you can pray in tongues reading, you can pray in tongues doing anything, riding a bike. Derek can pray in tongues for 50 minutes every time he rides over. This is great, because use the time you've got. Some of it is just thinking about it, because we suddenly thought, oh, I forgot. So it's trying to get to practice to remember, and then get into it becomes your habit of life, to just be communicating with God so that he can speak to you. So the spontaneous thoughts that come into your mind are flowing from the life of God. You know, if we don't ever think of God and ever build our spirit to draw from that, we won't receive much. God will be banging on our head to try and get through. And sometimes he has to get through to us when we're not listening. But if we're listening in our spirit, then that will come through to the rest of us, which is really important. Hence, we want to see this relationship with God in which we're developing on the inside of us, where God's presence, where God's glory is allowed to come through the rest of our life, through our spirit, soul and body. And so, you know, we've looked at this scripture, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." And the whole thing of dining in the Hebrew culture was one of great intimacy. That's when they spent their quality time with one another over food. Now, when we look at it spiritually, if Jesus, God says he's going to come in and dine with us, actually it means he's going to feed us, and also he's going to share in our lives, which means he is going to be having as much from us as we give to, as we get from him, because he wants relationship. So he's looking for intimate relationship. So we continually practice opening those doors. So what I want you to do, we're going to again practice this opening this first love door, but this time I want to take it a step further. So what we're going to do, open the door of first love like we've done before. So picture the door opening it. When you've done that, invite God to come through one of your spirit gates. So he's coming in, you're meeting with you, then you want him to come through one of the gates of your spirit. And once he's gone through one of the gates, I'll explain that in a minute. Once he's gone through one of the gates of your spirit, actually look to go through one of the gates of your soul. Now, you may struggle with this, you may not. You may see those gates in different forms. Take note of what they look like. Some of the testimonies and some of the things that people have been having is that they've seen gates or doors. And the state of the gate or door is an indication of something. If it's all covered in brambles and you can't get through it, then it's an indication you need to do some work to unblock that gate. You know, if it's not fully open and you have to push it open, it's an indication that, you know, you need God to come through more. So when you're asking him to come through those gates, meditate on the gates and see what flows in that whole scenario, because in a sense they're your gates, and how they work for you may be slightly different from how they work for me. You know, I can only share how they work for me, but in meditating on them you're going to get more insight into how, let's say, the gate of first love goes through the gate of revelation, how that revelation works for you. So then you invite that to come through maybe your conscience or your imagination or your reason center, whichever one you fancy to develop. Basically, you know, when I first did it, I started with reverence. It just, that was the one that drew my attention, because I didn't really understand it very well. So I meditated on reverence, asked God to come through that reverence gate and then to touch my conscience. And so then I started to actually meditate on reverence and how that would affect my conscience and what the flow of reverence would do in my life if my conscience was being directed by the Spirit of God through reverence, and how that would change me and how I would stop doing certain things, maybe do other things, and just allow the whole process for God to be able to speak to you through it. So the different gates are those. So the spirit gates, fear of God, reverence, prayer, hope, faith, revelation, intuition, worship, heavenly gate. Then your soul gates, conscience, imagination, reason, subconscious mind, emotions, will and choice. So you just choose one each, okay? One of your spirit gates, one of your soul gates, and then as we just, well, we'll play some music, we'll open the first love gate and just invite God's presence in and see what happens. You know, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but just see what happens. If you see some stuff, great. If you're struggling to see, just by faith say, right, I'm doing that. I'm opening up my first love gate. I'm inviting you in, God, into my spirit. I ask you just to flow through this gate in my spirit and come through my soul. And then just allow the process to take place. If you can't see anything, your spontaneous thoughts can still come to your mind. You can still meditate. You can still think. Ask God, what is this gate? What is it? How does it work? What does it do? If it's fully functioning, if it didn't shut, just talk to him. in your own spirit and engage in relationship. That's what meditation is. Is engagement in relationship and just ask God stuff. You know, and then as he starts to speak to you, then see what sparks off in that spontaneous thought. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so if you want to say where you are, make yourself comfortable, we'll do that. So you can either picture it, close your eyes, and we'll just spend some time doing that. Okay, did everyone sort of have any sort of engagement with that? What I would encourage you to do in those type of environments is just get a relational way of how to talk with Jesus. So when, like, I'm inviting him in, that's what I would do. It'd be very much, okay, yeah, so let's say I invite you to come into my revelation gate. So, Jesus, I make you Lord of this gate. You have full right of access to do whatever you want in this gate. If you need to open it, if you need to widen it, if you need your fire to purify it, just talk to him like that, you know. Just give him permission in the encounter to do what he needs to do. So anyone want to feedback anything on that? Yeah.
Yeah. My door wasn't very open very wide and I couldn't get it open very wide. I could just get through it. And all I could feel was that I was on this wooden staircase. And I just had this colour, and I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't move. I just could see myself on this huge staircase with this like turquoise colour around me, and that was it, and I couldn't get out. I couldn't move forward in that.
Okay.
I couldn't get out of that.
Yeah. What the idea in this wasn't for you to necessarily get out, was to get God in.
Well, I know, but
so in it, those type of encounters when it's like, okay, you've invited him to come through a door and you haven't gone anywhere, or then actually what's that mean? And I think that's where you go back, okay God, show me what that means. Now what was that staircase about? Did you want me to go higher? Did you want me to come up to a different level? You know, the colour, turquoise colour, what was that to do with? Is that, you can ask Joe what turquoise and the colours are. If you're unsure what different colours are, but just go and ask him. See, some of the things, when we have an encounter and we are unsure of it, then go back and say, okay God, what did that mean? What were you trying to show me? You know, I've invited, what gate did you invite him in through?
Reverence
gate. Okay, and so then basically he came through that gate, then did you go through a different gate into your soul? You didn't get any further, so you just basically got there. Okay, well that would be an indication that God would want you to spend more time in the whole place of reverence, because he didn't go any further, and actually God didn't go any further with it. So okay, God wants me to stay here for a while, so next time, tomorrow, in my own time, I'm going to spend some time in that place of reverence. I'm going to ask him, what does that whole colour mean? You know, what was he trying to tell me through the colour? You know, actually that one of those colours can be that one of the seven spirits of God who may want to give you revelation about reverence. Could be the fear of the Lord, and actually wants you to find that place where you're content to be in the place where the fear of the Lord is with you. Because all sorts of different things can happen, you know, but it's good. You've seen something and you went somewhere, so it's all good. Yeah. Okay. Any other feedback?
Slowly, it's at the time, rocks, big ones, you know,
Okay. Well, when something's like that, and you sort of get a developing thing, you need to be asking God, okay, what is this stone? What is it that's blocking me? Is this something which is, because the picture is, oh, it was like this, and then it's got bigger. So it could be fear, you know. Fear is always the thing that the enemy uses to block things, you know. And, you know, again, write it down. Always write the things down so that then you can refer back to them. It's always important. Okay? But what I'd encourage you to do is just to develop the whole thing of all those different gates that you've got so that they're open. You know, once they're open, they're open. You know, you don't have to keep opening them. It's like once you've got them open, they're open. Now, sometimes you have to make sure that they don't get blocked. But you know, every day I just basically remind God, He's Lord of my gates, so that He's got total permission to do whatever He likes. So I don't go through now opening them every day. They are open, so I just allow Him to be Lord. Basically, it's like, Jesus, I open the first love gate. You are Lord of all the gates of my spirit. You've got free reign to do whatever you want today. I surrender the gates of my soul to you. Soul, you will only cooperate with the flow of the spirit today. You know, I don't necessarily, but I did spend a long time opening them all. So I know what they are and I know how they work for me. The more time you spend with them, the more understanding you'll have of how they work with you. Now, I want to look at an area which is really, really important. And because quite often we focus on engaging God and looking for heavenly encounters where God is looking for our encounters with us on the inside. You see, when God made Eden and He then made the garden in Eden, He came down with man, as well as inviting man to come with Him. So there was this two-way thing. So in Genesis 2, it says, the Lord planted a garden toward the east in Eden. So the garden wasn't Eden. It was towards the east in a place called Eden, which was where the heavens and the earth overlapped. So Eden was the garden of God, which was in the heavenly realms. He placed a garden which He put man in, which those two places were interconnected. So Adam had access one to the other, and God had access one to the other. And the tree of life and all that stuff were there. So there was real physical trees, and there was spiritual stuff as well. And then in Genesis 2:10 it says, and now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. So the river of life came out of the heavenly place, which was Eden, and then watered the garden, which was on earth. So there is this flow of the river of life. And hence, when we're looking at our own heart now, we're looking for a flow of the Spirit of God to flow into our heart and to flow around our body and back again. So that it's this eternal symbol of infinity. It's just a continual flow of the life of God coming in and out of my life and going back into heaven, and me going into heaven and coming back into this realm. So that it's just continual flow of God's life, which is there to engage my scroll and enable me to fulfill my destiny. So it's very much about a relationship. So our heart is like a garden. Isaiah 58, you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That is about our heart. Jeremiah 2:13, I am the fountain of living waters. So He is the source of that living water that's in us. Psalm 23, He makes me lie down in green pastures. For me, those green pastures are in my own heart. They're in my garden that I've developed. I have a place there with quiet waters. I have a nice tablecloth spread there with all sorts of stuff I go and eat. It's all sorts of truth and revelation, and I go there to just talk to God. But, you know, I've developed that over time. From first time I went in a garden, it was like all I could see was one pokey little tree. That was it. And it was a swing. And I was swinging in there. And it was great. It was awesome at the time. It was like, whoa, this is really good. But actually now I've planted that garden and developed it. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. So your garden is your place of intimacy, that place, that quiet place, that secret place where you can engage with God. And again, you can slip in there wherever you want, because it's your garden. And it's like, so you can close your eyes and it's like, right, I'm just going to sit in my garden, sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, but we have to invite him in. Again, it's inviting him into the garden of our heart. So we have fellowship there with one another. See, in Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to cultivate and tend it. So we have to cultivate and tend the garden of our heart. If we don't look after it, it will be full of weeds. Or it might just be desert. There's nothing in it. Because we have to grow it and tend it. And that takes time, and it takes relationship, and it takes an effort. Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God wants to walk with us in our garden. He wants to have that intimacy in that place in our heart where we can just engage with him. You know, when it says, I come boldly to the throne of grace to get help at time of need, you know, that isn't some faraway place in the heavens. It can be within our own heart that we can engage God and find strength and help in relationship. But the heart needs obviously to be looked after. Okay. So you are a dwelling place of God's presence. He's in you. And therefore you are connected to heaven through Jesus. And you have a flow of abundant life flowing like a river from heaven, that spiritual realm, into your own life. And that river flows from heaven through God to our spirit, then through our heart, and then the body, to the world round us. So rivers of living water, just like in the original garden, the river split into four and went out to water the earth. Now we've got rivers of living water that come from our innermost being, and they're not supposed to stay in us. They're supposed to flow around us to touch people, because it's the life of God. You know, sometimes you hear people talk about, oh, when someone's around, I feel really refreshed. Well, that's because the life of God is flowing through you. And people will pick it up. Even though they don't know really what it is, they will feel something. So now our hearts are where we can walk in intimacy with God, but we need to tend and cultivate it. So I want to encourage in this. Some of you have seen this before. It's a Mr. Edwards song which talks about the garden, and it's full of pictures. And I encourage you to look at the pictures. If you've seen it before and you just want to meditate on the music, that's fine. All the pictures are about females. So guys, it's like, don't switch off, because we are the bride of Christ. So God, Jesus, is the lover, and he wants the relationship with us. So in that sense, we're all female from that point. So it's just the images that it used, but it's a good illustration. Can't say I've got a cat in my garden, but it is a very intimate place, and you know that song sums up the intimacy of it, and it's something that you have to develop by spending time there, inviting God there, developing that place where you can just sit at his feet, feel his peace and his love, you know. Anyone have any comments on that? It is beautiful. Yeah, it is.
Can you buy it?
You can just download that clip off YouTube.
I can download it.
Yeah, it's just on. That clip is just on YouTube. You put Misty Edwards' Secret Garden, it comes up. You can just play it online. But, you know, if you started to sing that type of stuff to God, you will start to have intimacy, because he'll respond. Yeah, and I know for guys it may be harder, because it is a very sort of female-y type thing, but there's no male or female when it comes to intimacy with God. It isn't a sexual thing, so it's actually just a sense of being safe with him. It's a safe place that you're looking to develop and to grow, but it's all good. So, let's practice. What I encourage you to do is, again, just chill out, relax, and just invite him into your garden. It's like, if you see your door first, love, you already opened it, that door is open, just invite God into your garden to walk in your garden with you. So just close your eyes, relax, and just allow that sense of just opening up the heart to him and just relate with him, fellowship with him, see what he says to you. Okay. Now it's a very, for me, it's always a really peaceful place. A place where I can just be alone with God. Even in the song where it talks about, you know, it's behind the face. You know, actually a lot of the stuff that goes on the surface, this is a place where we can just get into that place of intimacy and peace with him. So, do you find it, people can engage there? You know, because I personally, you know, that's the place where I tend to go when I just want to chill out. I go to heaven when I want to see something or get some revelation or something, but I go there when I just want to hang out, you know. And God often speaks and shares things there, but it's always generally on a much more gentle, intimate sort of level. Okay. So, what do you do to tend the garden of your heart? Well, you know Jesus told the parable of the sower. So there's a sense where there's different soils in our heart that we have to deal with. So if our heart has been trodden down, it can be a sense that it's all hard and difficult to grow things. You know, it could be full of weeds, could be full of stones, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. But it's up to us to tend it. And there's a difference between tending it and cultivating it. Cultivating is growing things. Tending is looking after it. So we've got to make sure we look after our heart. Proverbs 4 talks about watching over our heart, because with all diligence, because from our heart flow the springs of life. So it's important we do look after it. For me, I store everything that God's given me there. So all the scrolls, diamond scepters, things like that, you know, they're all there. So I look after them there in my heart. Because they're mine, they belong to me, they're the things God's given me. So in my garden there's all sorts of different things that I've got, and I can go back there and I can pick them up and I can look at them and I can use them. You know, Ezekiel 2:8 says, open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you. And so that was when God was talking to Ezekiel when he was in a vision in heaven. And he said, son of man, what you find, eat this scroll. So whenever I get something in the heavens, I eat it, no matter what it is, because that's what the Bible says to do, that's what I do. Now you think, well, how can I get something really big in my mouth? It just doesn't work like that. You just do it. You know, our inner being is not contained in terms of time and space in that sort of sense, in terms of space particularly. It's bigger on the inside, like the TARDIS. You know, so we can take all those things in there. And it says, you know, feed your stomach, fill your body with this scroll. Now this was in heaven and he was given a scroll. So I'm giving you, then I ate it and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. And actually things in the heavenly realms actually can very much taste and smell, there's a fragrance, there's an aroma, there's a taste with them, which you can engage with. You just have to learn to engage. For me, I got a little collage of all the stuff that I've got in my garden. I updated it recently, I've got a few more bits and pieces to go in there. But I've got mountains in there that reflect the mountains that are mine in the heavenly realms that I rule on, because they need to also be on the inside of me. Got the river, I've got my winged angel that comes often, lots of different things, fruit and things that I've received, visions and pictures and stuff like that. You just have to develop your own garden and tend it and look after it. Now, cultivating is a different thing. How do we cultivate the garden of our hearts? Well, cultivating is about planting and having things grow. Now, it's your garden. If you like certain things, go and plant them. So if you want a great big field of lilies or field of freezers or things that you like, actually you can go into your garden and just plant them there. But there are things that you can plant specifically which are really important things. When we have a seed, because again, Jesus talks about the parable of the sower sowing the seed, and the seed is classed as the word of God. So for me, I plant things in my heart and I water them because the river of life is there. 1 Corinthians 3:8 talks about he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field. So there's a sense there that we can plant and water and have the reward of what we've planted. Okay? So what do you plant? Well, I plant everything. Every encounter, every victory, every vision, every revelation, every testimony, every truth that I receive, I don't want as a one-off. I want to have the fruit of those experiences, those encounters, those truths over and over and over again. So what I do is, okay, let's say, I had a victory over something in my life. I would take that testimony as a seed, and I would go into my garden, and you can, if you can't see it physically, it doesn't matter, because God responds in faith. So you basically take the seed, the encounter, whatever it was, say, right, I'm going into my garden, I'm going to plant this seed. So I just dig a little hole, I put the seed in it, cover it over, and then I go and get some handfuls of water from the river of life, and I water it. And I basically see myself doing that. Now sometimes I've done that and I've sort of been in an encounter and it's just been like, this is like really happening. And other times it's just like, I haven't got time for all that, I just need to plant this thing and get it growing because I want to eat the fruit. So basically by faith I just say, right, I take that, plant it, I water it from the river of life, and I speak to it, because I have to speak to it. You speak life. This seed does not grow like a natural seed, because it's spiritual. So when you speak spiritual words to it, it grows. So I plant the seed, I water it, and I say, grow. And then I expect it to grow in front of me. Now, whether I can see it or not is not is irrelevant to me. It is grown, and it produces fruit. Now, for me, it's always nice, coloured fruit that's on little trees, little bushes. Not great big things that I can't reach, just bushes, cover the fruit. Then what I do is I go and take that fruit and I eat it. So I'm taking the testimony and I eat it so that I can relive the testimony. So let's say I've overcome something. For instance, Mandy, you've overcome smoking, right? Plant it, plant the seed of overcoming, the testimony. Right, for a month I've not smoked. I've taken this seed, I sow it, I tell it, water it from the river, like, I'll grow, and it's going to produce a beautiful, not a tobacco plant, but a nice fruitful tree.
What I was going to say, does that have some relevance on your future family and mother? If you do stuff like that,
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, for me, it's something that's, because it's in my garden. Now, you can use that testimony and give that fruit to somebody else. So yes, you can pass that on. So for instance, in your situation, it's like, right, I've grown this fruit. Every day, I'm going to eat that fruit. I'm going to take that testimony. I have overcome. I'm no longer a smoker. Actually, I'm living free and healthy. I take that testimony.
It's bigger than that, though, isn't it?
Well, that's just, yeah, but that's just one little example.
Yeah.
You can actually take any situation. For instance, it's like, I don't know, you have a vision of something or you have a picture. So you go and take that encounter. I take that vision, I plant it, so I'm going to receive more visions. So whenever I need a vision, I just go into my garden, I take the testimony of my previous encounter with vision, and I eat it. So that actually now I'm going to have fresh encounters with vision. So everything, grow your garden with your testimonies of the good things in your life. And then you go and get the testimony over and over and over again. And you can go back whenever you need it, because it's there in your garden and you've grown it. So that's, for me, that's what I do. And you know, I know people have different things. Some people have bushes with nice fruit on it. It doesn't really matter. The reality is, you want the fruit of your testimony. And whatever illustration works for you, that's great. And you may see it, and you may see the fruit, and you may actually, when you eat it, you might just feel, this is really good. But actually, if you can't see it, doesn't matter, just do it by faith. Because by faith, you're still taking the testimony. Because we know that testimonies bring continual fruit. So we live every day from the record of our previous testimonies in God. Therefore, we live in victory, we live overcoming, we live strong. You know, and anything, even take a scripture. If God gives you a scripture, you're meditating on it. Well, that's a really good scripture. You know, whatever it might be. You know,
healing.
Absolutely, healing. I mean, every time you get a physical healing or emotional healing, plant it, and then you can give that away to others. So actually, you meet somebody who you relate to, and it's like, I've got a testimony that will be really good for you. This is what happened to me. I'm going to give them some of the fruit of my experience so that faith can rise in their hearts, that they then can grab hold of that for themselves. And then you can minister that to people from your own experience that becomes a living testimony. You know, because it enables us to overcome. Well, does that make sense? Okay, let's just do it then. So, take a seed of testimony, whatever you want to do, whatever, it may be an encounter, it might be just for scripture, whatever. Just go to your garden, plant it, water it from the river of life, speak life to it, command it to grow. As it grows into a tree or a plant with fruit on it, then eat the fruit to release the power of the testimony again and again. So let's practice that. So again, let's go to that place in our garden with that seed and plant it. Come back from those places. So basically what I'd encourage you to do in that, if you've never done that before, you've probably got a whole backlog of testimonies of seeds to plant. It's like you've got a big bag of seed. So you can go there every day and plant stuff. Yeah.
I told Nikki on Sunday because she had a word for me.
Yeah.
And I had a picture on Sunday in worship of it was just like this chateau, like a chute.
Yeah.
And all these seeds were just coming down from it.
Yeah.
Just like here.
Yeah. Now you've got like a big hopper of seed. Just go and plant it. And then get the fruit and eat it and just revisit it. And essentially what you want is your garden just to be overflowing with abundance of life, of growth. Yeah.
I think
very
difficult to move around the garden. I've got lovely hedge and I tend to just be there and there's this garden seat and I can't. So when I want to plant something, I've only got about just a little tiny bit of space.
Yeah.
I don't really feel that I can. I try and sort of move away and go a bit further somewhere, but I do
sometimes. Well, what I encourage you to do in that, don't be limited by what you see. So basically, just actually say, I am going to plant. You know, it doesn't. If you can see it, great. If it doesn't really matter too much, just in faith, plant the seeds. And then when you're able to move out of that, for ages I was in that little place. I had a little seat, a little swing, you know, in a tree, and that was it. You know, I spent ages there. Then I got this sort of, you know, whenever I, if I want to get there, often I meditate on Psalm 23. You know, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's like, oh, I haven't got much choice because he makes me lie down. So it's like, I'm just going to lie down. You know, I give up. I'm just going to lie down. You know, so I just use little things like that to help me. But when it comes to planting stuff, I mean, I had a wonderful time planting stuff there. And I've never had a tree that had light fruit on it before. And it had fruit, with just light fruit, with light going in that. It was just great. You know, but... You know, I've never wanted to do some stuff with it that I wanted to do with it. So, in a sense, it was illustrative of something, of where I needed to apply it. You know, but the key is just plant it. You know, and then when you want that testimony, you just go to where the testimony is in your mind. I'm going to the fruit of the tree of that testimony. I'm going to take the fruit and eat it. You know, then I'm going to apply that testimony to live it out.
Can I just say, the more you go, Hazel, the more you bear to see. So my first plant was in my garden, just that small, and then I went there one day and all of a sudden it was like, and I had a hedge that I couldn't see beyond. It was really enclosed and for quite a while, and then all of a sudden I went and just like this whole vista opened up and I could just see so much more, and then things started to appear. And
I thought that the Lord perhaps might want me to stay there because it's, I know what the hedge represents.
Yeah.
And
well,
he wants
yeah.
To just dwell.
Sure.
In that place until I've come at last.
That's fine. I mean, in a sense, it's your secret safe place. And often the hedge places are the really inward, intimate places. You know, the other places are functional and you can go and tend them and look after them, but you need to maintain that really intimate place where it's just you. You know, that the song, you know, it's just you and me alone.
Yeah, because I suppose what I'm struggling with is, well, what I'm wondering is how much do we force ourselves out of the hedge fence.
Well, you don't need to force yourself out of it, because if it's a safe place. But eventually, as when Becky says, it's like the more you go there, the more it will probably start to go. You know, and when you're ready, God will lead you out of it.
Yeah.
And
in a
just relax, just relax and enjoy it. Yeah, it's all good. Okay, so in the next couple of weeks before we meet again, I'd encourage you just plant seed. You know, just keep planting seed, because you must have loads and loads of testimonies that you haven't planted, so you've got loads of opportunity to just plant. You know, it's a good place. Okay, well let's call it a day there, I think. Well, I'd encourage you in the next week, just continue practicing, spending time with God, developing that. Next time, we're going to look more in terms of what happens when we open the door to our heart. He opens the door into the heavenly realm, so we're going to practice going to some places in there next time. Keep practicing about seeing with your spiritual eyes. So, you know, when you close your eyes, it's black. You want to see beyond that into the light. So just keep opening the curtain, looking to engage with the eyes of your spirit, so that you step in and then begin to walk in the light. The next week, when we actually look at, you know, the door opening up into heaven and walking up through the steps, or first time I went into the heavenly realms, it was like first time Jesus took me there, it was like I was going up these spiral steps. It was just like as a little boy. Yeah, that I saw, it wasn't a first person thing, I saw myself. And then when I got to the top, I was in it as a first person, and I was standing before this great big angel looking in the Book of Life, and I'm thinking, I hope my name's in there. You know, and I was thinking, you know, because he was like, I don't know whether he was playing a game or what, but he was like, oh. So in the end, Jesus pointed it out, you know. Rotter. But it was, I was thinking all these things, and it's like then it just opened up into this realm. So there's different things that God will do with you. So next week we'll have a good time looking at some more of that stuff. Okay?
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.